Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
War in the Ukraine and the Middle East, inflation spikes in 2020 and 21. What is the financial impact of global conflict and rising prices? The answer might surprise you. I'm Barry Ritholtz, and on today's edition of At the Money, we're going to discuss whether war and inflation somehow adds up to higher portfolio prices. To help us unpack all of this and what it means for your investments, let's bring in Jeff Hirsch. Not only is he the editor-in-chief of the Stock Traders Almanac, he is the author of the 2011 book, Superboom, Why the Dow Jones Will Hit 38,820 and How You Can Profit From It. Full disclosure, I was privileged to write the foreword to that book, and I have been delighted to see it more or less come true. So let's start with your dad, Yale Hirsch, who founded the Stock Traders Almanac 60 years ago. In 1976, he predicted a 15-year super boom, a 500% move in the stock market. At the time, it wasn't especially well received. In fact, it was fairly widely mocked. But not only did he turn out to be right, by 2000, the move was 1,000%. Explain your dad's thinking about how war plus inflation equals a stock bull market.
Well, I was a wee lad back then, but I remember the T-shirts, the Dow 3420 T-shirts. I still have a box of mediums in the house, but my kids can wear it, but not me. So coming off the you know, generational low in 1974 that everyone knows, which was
73-74 bear market, was as vicious as the financial crisis.
As 07-08, as vicious, and perhaps more so because it was a little bit fresher. It was a little bit
newer. It was also in the middle of a long bear market as opposed to coming off of market highs.
True. We had been coming down for a few years. But
since 66.
Or 68, depending upon where you want to look.
Which index, yeah.
Yeah. But what he observed, looking at history, long history, being a student of the four-year cycle, four-year presidential election cycle, and the decennial patterns, and having, you know, written the Almanac for several years, and just being an avid researcher, he's discovered that after war, and you know, we're in the Vietnam War, we were just come out, we had the April 75 coming out of, you know, Saigon, that horrific, you know, scene with the helicopters over the embassy, remembers. And we had, you know, the oil embargo, which you and I probably both remember, the odds and even days. And what he observed was that after these previous big, you know, international conflagrations, wars, World War One and World War Two, that after this war period, there was inflation stimulated by government spending. And then after the inflation leveled off, the market went into this rally of 500% or more following war and inflation.
That's more than a rally. That's a full-blown bull market, 500%.
It's a secular bull market.
So I'm glad you used that term to different than a shorter-term cyclical market within a longer-term secular. So what were the numbers like after World War One and after World War Two?
The numbers, it was about just around 500%, 517, 521, right in the just over 500%. Following both wars. Unbeknownst to him, after the Vietnam War and the inflation that came from, you know, that Volcker
had embargo and all the rest.
And all the rest, it ended up being the better part of 1,500 or 2,000% going all the way up to the top in either 98 or 2,000, if you want to measure it to there.
Right.
His forecast, his prediction was for Dow 3420 by 1990.
That was 500%. From
the intraday low of the Dow on December 6th, if memory serves, 1974, and The Dow didn't actually hit that number until it was July of 1992, but the S&P had the 500% move in like it was May of 1992.
And that's really the more important index than
July
than
of 1990. It did it in 1990.
Right.
So, you know, I remember when you and I were talking about the forward, and I had showed you the old, you know, newsletters that he put up. It's called Smart Money back then. And in January 77, he put out a special report called Invitation to a Super Boom, which was, you know, taking all of the research that had been done and the articles that were written throughout 76 and putting it together in a little package to, you know, give to subscribers and to promote what he was talking about there. And we put those pictures in there. You know, he's got some hand-drawn lines on the old, you know, overhead projector, you know, transparency. And then, you know, as we were going through the financial crisis, 07, 08, also looking back to the 02, 9/11 situation, and then going into Afghanistan and all that stuff, looking at that, we were tracking this you know, long secular bear market pattern. And, you know, after the bottom in 09, you know, we're looking at things in early 2010, and we're saying, this is setting up again.
Coming out of the financial crisis, a 56% peak to trough sell-off, you're looking at what just took place. We've been in Afghanistan really soon after 9/11. It's almost a decade. And then around the same time, we've been in Iraq for about 7 years. We had a bout of inflation in 07, 08, 09. What are you thinking when you look out over the next 15 years from the perspective of 2010, 2011?
We weren't looking out initially 15 years. What we were witnessing, what we were observing, was a similar chart pattern. It was chart pattern recognition, looking at the image that, you know, you've seen in the book of Yale's chart and seeing the same thing.
That's a 100-year chart that shows you war, inflation, and several 500%
gains. I think Josh called it, you know, the greatest chart, you know, he's ever seen or ever. It was something like on Earth or something like that at one point. But it's a log scale, so you can see, you know, the moves relative of those different time frames. But looking at that, you could see it setting up again, coming off the 09 bottom. We just, you know, crunched numbers, did research, went back and, you know, read all the old stuff that he wrote, went through the old almanacs, and we're like, this is happening again.
So let's take this apart and see if we can rationalize why this might happen. In the past, governments have talked about the peace dividend when the Berlin Wall came down, as an example, the shift of government spending from the military and the Pentagon to civilian usage. Is that part of the thinking behind this?
It does play a part, you know, in there, but the spending from the war, and I think this time around, the COVID spending is similar. It's government spending, period. It just puts a lot of money into the economy, enables a lot of development.
You're totally anticipating my next question, which is how parallel is the war on COVID, the pandemic, lockdown, pent-up demand, terrible sentiment? CARES Act 1 was 10% of GDP. We've spent, depending on whose numbers you rely on, $4, $5, $6 trillion.
Insane.
And then we have a giant 9-10% spike in inflation. COVID plus inflation, how parallel is this to what we saw following World War I, World War II, and Iraq and Afghanistan?
I think it's incredibly parallel. One of the things that the current cycle didn't have from the previous cycles was the inflation. We had very low inflation.
Spike a little bit during the financial crisis.
But it was very, very low.
Remember, oil ran up to $150 a barrel.
Yes.
And meat and milk got crazy expensive.
But it didn't come through to the, you know, the regular CPI, you know, minus food and energy.
Because housing appeared to be disastrous. So that was why it – by the way, there's a crazy thing about owner's equivalent rent, that when real estate prices go up, depending on the circumstances, sometimes OER goes down dramatically, especially when rates are low and they'll give anybody a mortgage. So CPI,
which happened back in COVID,
right?
Who didn't refinance? The U.S. government,
but right?
The rest of us did.
That's exactly right. So how much of this is sort of like a wartime? You know, there was rationing, there's supply chain issues, there's a ton of pent-up demand and a lot of negative sentiment. And then when the dam breaks, it seems like everybody goes crazy.
It's so parallel to me. I could not have imagined COVID back in 2010 when I first made this forecast. We were thinking only, you know, large military involvement overseas. It's going to take a lot of spending, and it's gonna, and you know, when that's over, we'll get that relief rally. The other thing that I add to the equation that, you know, my father didn't articulate as clearly, but having, you know, the benefit of hindsight standing on his shoulders, you know, the equation, the war plus inflation equals super boom or bull market, as you've put it, is technology. And something the phrase that I came up with, culturally enabling paradigm shifting technology, which, you know, indoor plumbing, the automobile, air conditioning, air travel, the microprocessor, the internet, you know, all
mobile,
these.
Mobile, keep mobile, going.
So it's not just biotechnology, energy, whatever.
And now AI.
AI. And exactly. It's not just one thing. It's a cocktail of different technologies that drive productivity and the next boom and new developments. And I think that's where we're at right now.
I'm so glad you said that. Whenever I try and explain to people the difference between a secular expansion, a secular bull market, and a cyclical, I always go back to your dad's post-World War II chart. And I like to tell people, you know, when World War II ended, 42 million GIs return home. They have the GI Bill that puts them through college.
That's where he got his degree, in the GI Bill.
You have the expansion of suburbia, the rise of the automobile culture.
The interstate highway system.
Interstate highway system, the rise of civilian air travel, the rise of the electronic industry, which we don't think about anymore.
The appliances, the conveniences.
Yeah, all those
refrigerators,
things. Television,
ovens,
radio,
toasters,
dishwashers, washing machines that didn't exist before
yes.
the war in any, at least not in any. And you combine all those things, you have a 20-year economic expansion plus the baby boom on top of it. What a great time to be an investor.
And then after, go ahead.
And then the last thing I was going to say is, today, sentiment is very negative. Social media is a cancer.
You just posted on it.
Social media is a cancer on us. And the regular media does a terrible job covering the economy. They're
like, trying to compete with social to get
right.
eyeballs.
And the question I always like to ask people whenever we see political polling is, who the hell is answering the landline at home except cranky old grandpa who just watched Fox News and is yelling at the kids to get off? Who am I voting for? They all suck. Goodbye. Like, I hate those that sort of stuff. But it leads to a fascinating question, which is, people might be unhappy, but you have a massive technological boom, a ton of fiscal spending, and an enormous amount of corporate productivity and very low debt.
That's
might
where AI
we
comes
be
in.
Looking at another super boom?
We're in it.
We're in it.
We're already in
it. What inning is this?
You know what? It's hard to tell. We're at least in the middle of it. We could be getting towards the end of it. At least for this cycle. You remember after the Nifty 50?
Sure.
In the late 60s.
Right.
There was this secular bear market ahead of the oil embargo.
I use 66 to 82 as my phrase, my range. Some people look at 68.
That works.
But it's like 15 plus or minus years.
Which is interesting. The ultimate low was 74.
Right.
But everyone says that 09 was the beginning of the second.
It's absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I think 2016 was, that little bear market.
2013, we set a new high in the S&P going back to 01. That's the start of the new bull market for me.
Or somewhere in the 13 to 16 period, where we had that little tiny mini bear market from 15 to February 2016.
Net barely down 18, 19%.
Right.
Q4 2018, 19.9%.
Either way.
It's just a normal pullback. The 20% number is meaningless.
Fifth
inning, sixth inning.
Maybe even a little bit further up there. I think by the time we get into 25, 26, we could start looking at another stock picker sideways trading market for many years to come, or at least, you know, a handful. The thing with these cycles, you know, people have, what you said, 66 to 82. People want to look at this 18-year cycle, a 17-and-a-half-year cycle. It's more, and the thing that we pointed out on this chart is that it's impacted by events. Like the bull market after World War II was short. It was 8 years, the Roaring Twenties. Okay, then you had
World War One.
Sorry, correction. Thank you. World War One, and then the Depression and the whole secular bear market before World War II was 25 years.
Right.
Okay, so these things aren't necessarily the same time frame. We could have a secular bear market, after this, we get them to the super boom level or a little bit past it, it could be a few years. It could be 5, 6, 7, 8. It could be, 15, 20. We have to see I think it'll be on the shorter end of things. I think all these cycles have compressed with the productivity, and we're going to get more compression with AI and all the technology. So I don't think it's going to be a super long depression, despite some of the real, Pollyannas out there.
So to wrap up, there's an incalculable and terrible cost of war in lost lives and physical and emotional injuries. Global conflicts and war just exert a horrific cost on society. Analysts who've studied this have found that the joys of peace when war ends go beyond the relief of ending human suffering. Peace often leads to strong economic growth and large subsequent gains in stock markets. I'm Barry Ritholtz, and you've been listening to Bloomberg's At the Money.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing. The passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.